parents can hear me.
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast, exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, JY Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. It's set 2 at the Hampton Coliseum in Hampton, Virginia, Thursday, March 20th, 1986. Once again, thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 2, Show Number 2, a meditation on the Hampton Coliseum in Hampton, Virginia, Thursday, March 20th, 1986. Just the Box. Set 2. Aiko. Bayou time. But first, how about that box of rain? Yeah, regardless of what happens, this set and show get a free pass because, let's face it, few bust outs can compare with that first set, Box of Rain. The last mass organism of this magnitude occurred during the St. Stephen breakout at the Garden in 1983, or to a lesser extent, the Dark Star at the Greek in 1984. However, the box completely eclipses both events due to the unprecedented 13-year gap between its versions, which allowed for major technological advances and shifts in audience expectations not seen before. It's a celebration, not only because we are at a Grateful Dead show, but also because of that extraordinary moment wrapped inside a box of rain. How long should we keep focusing on that? Will it define the entire show, or are we, as a group, ready to move forward? It'll be a challenge, but one that is necessary. So, we will move on because the show must go on. Jerry plays a more upbeat, friendly, and definitely non-psychedelic set opener. It's a celebration, a feast among friends. More wine, more libations, and game for everyone. Drink, my friends, and drink in the name of good health and glad tidings. Master wouldn't want it any other way. But there's a bad Bobby poetry alert. Show me mine, and I'll show you yours. Baby, we get caught with the drums around these doors. What the hell is he talking about? We go round and round and round and, he steps all over Jerry. Bob doesn't just want the women are smarter. He's also after Aiko, and not in a charming Dixie Boys on the Battlefront way either. This approach leans more towards a hostile takeover. So is Bobby overcompensating or suffering delirium from a bite, courtesy of the alligator on his shirt? The carnival continues. Jerry takes the fun on a longer than usual ride, supposedly to rinse the bad Bob poetry from your mouths. He growls out the hey nows, putting his considerable weight behind each phrase. We're definitely into it. Whatever the reason, it's led to an energetic party, and for that we are forever grateful. Bad pun intended. It can't be any worse than what Bob was spewing earlier. One down. Estimated profit. Right into the land of estimated, where our esteemed Mr. Weir awaits, ready to take over the show. Okay, Bobby, you wanted it. You got it. A full-fledged trip into the egosphere with effects, Hollywood guitars, fans adulation, and unnatural highs. Phil keeps a comfortable distance, like the kid who knows about the bullying, but, because of his honesty, wishes for a clear conscience when the teacher starts taking names. Jerry is absent. Someone has to take the show by the horns and wrestle it to the ground, make it pay, the devil and all that. Don't worry, we're a man to the rescue. If you're just going to go off the hook, then a great place to do it is during an estimated, and Bob is just the man for the job. Tonight, he has been in the spotlight, which is precisely where he prefers to be, and few tunes resonate more with our center man than Estimated Profit. He is fully capable of handling the task, and the boys are standing by his side. It's power, it's glory, it's biblical, like the great whale rising from the dead to flop about the dry land and shake us from the moorings of our mundane existence. Yes, this is what it's all about. Now we're talking. Bob has us in the palm of his hand. He could squeeze us dry for all we care. This is pure pleasure, a direct route to hedonism. There is nowhere else we'd rather be. And now it's Jerry's turn to take us to the promised land. The jam is exactly that. The band is lifted, as is the crowd. Jerry's into it. He doesn't need to shout. He lets his instrument do the talking. Smart move, because you'll never outdo Bobby. Phil is dug in. Violence be damned. He wants to blurt it out, to tell the teacher, yeah, we did it. We pushed him down, made him eat dog shit covered M&Ms, stole his milk money, and swapped the juice in his thermos with puddle water. but he won't. His bass playing assures us that no matter what demons he carries within, he will never deviate from what is right. All is forgotten as Bob takes us into the final segment of The Estimated, the great vocal effect chain. For many, a highlight of all that is Weir. And there are levels to his madness. We want it to climb up as high as possible. Oh yes, take us down a deep tunnel toward insanity. Let us glimpse what the great artists saw in the reflection when they realized that the only way back to sanity was through art. But they had no safety net, and many were left stranded with their delusions, paintbrushes, and the uncontrollable urge to create, lest their inner demons consume them forever. We just have to wait until the effects pass. It's a process that lasts less than 2 minutes. That's why we paid the big bucks to the creepy dude near the underpass. Oh, it's worth it, all right. This version is slightly less intense than the criminally insane May 10th show at the Frost later this year. But how in the hell is anyone supposed to know that? The human voice as a channel to something greater than ourselves when it works is magical. The dead are not known for their vocal prowess, but that's besides the point. Witness moments like this Estimated. Phil is back. The jamming is back, and thus the show writes itself toward the familiar path of eyes. We're certain this development means the show will continue in a positive direction, but we also tend to rub small children on the head, unaware that some cultures consider this to be offensive. Eyes of the World. Shapeshift Boogie, a gallop and foray into the unknown, where a strident Jerry takes over. Finally. We had doubts about the old man getting older right before our eyes. He even allowed that Ico hijack. No more. The man means business. Right from the shuffling start, there's plenty of dancing room. We have managed to create a family here in Hampton. There is a sense of unity among us on the floor. We just haven't figured out how to distribute the labor properly. We are the water bringers. If you want a drink, we will find some and bring it back before more than a few notes have transpired. Why? Because we are afflicted with the curse of the eternal thirst. We also carry the cure, ensuring that no one around us shall ever suffer from dry mouth. We communicate with grunts of recognition. Our teeth are glued together with orange starbursts, a gift from a family member who believes that no one should ever go without sweets. Very sweet of her. And yes, she was the embodiment of sweetness. How could anyone refuse? Someone has procured hobby horses with which to chase each other around the floor. The sticks feel so real between our legs, no matter how silly the image. A group of hippies scampering about on bright papier-mâché horse heads attached to simple pine wood broomsticks. Occasionally, our ride takes us along unfamiliar paths as we navigate through personal musical journeys, experimenting with different styles and techniques before finding our true sound. Jerry's got a slash-and-burn approach to the guitar playing. Some of us are felled, while others stand by ready for further growth. Not too sure about the chorus, some shaky vocals all around. But who cares when Phil can cover it with solid bass playing? He's definitely the one to call to get your house ready before putting it on the market. Floorboards, drywall, attics, no problem, man. It'll be taken care of by morning. The second verse is sung, and it feels like they're already moving towards drums. A mere trio of pre-drums tunes isn't quite the second set treasure we expected. But hey, at least the tapers will get a relatively clean flip. Kreutzmann and Hart are ready. They've already taken the baton. Bobby concedes. Phil plods. You knew he was the right man for the job. Garcia is noodling aimlessly as ideas slip rapidly from his grasp. Dawdling, our third grade teacher called it. If you quit dawdling over your lunch, you'd already be outside for recess. Someone tell that Garcia guy. Brent decides to crash the drummer's party in a jazzy style, which faintly hints at a going down the road. Whether this is welcome is debatable, but that discussion will not happen here. Take it outside, you nerds. Meanwhile, we stay put, munching on candy, our eyes as dark as the night we are about to face in an hour. The only question remaining is whether this segment is drums proper or a continuation of the eyes. This debate is welcomed, even encouraged. Let's check in with the kid with the illegible handwriting, scribbling in his notebook. Maybe he can draw a big arrow to show Brent the way off the stage. Drums. Brent leaves. Finally. We now call this section drums proper. For the record, that jazzy interlude with Brent has been classified as, quote, an eyes extension, unquote, stretching out the tune to about 15 minutes. But don't be fooled. This wasn't one of those fall 79 versions, exploratory, jammed out, and intense. This is artificially enhanced, like a hamburger mixed with breadcrumbs. Still, Drums is here. Watery, like a Pisces descendant, the fish that saved Pittsburgh is trying to work some of the same magic on tonight's show. We are offered a mellow ride through the backwaters of an ancient civilization. The king's envoy is there to greet us. They seem friendly, calming the nerves a bit. However, those who are truly dangerous are known to approach under the guise of a helping hand. They frisk us and show concern upon finding a cassette tape in one of our expedition members' pockets. What could they possibly want with it? The tape is confiscated. The envoy and their helpers chat in their native language. We are lost. Their intentions become clearer as we approach the waiting canoe, hand-carved and lined with the remains of old XL2s. Space. We came to see the captain, but unfortunately he was nowhere to be found. Upon our return to reality, we unknowingly kick a stray XL2 in the taper section. Just because the story doesn't fully make sense now, doesn't mean it won't have consequences in your life someday. The tape could be a metaphor for life, endlessly playing and rewinding until it breaks, or worse, is discarded as unnecessary. Some of our most treasured possessions eventually fall victim to the laws of entropy. Vinyl leads to cassettes, which give way to CDs, then files, streaming, and other intangible forms of music until one day they will just exist in our minds, ready to be pulled from memory, accompanied by a fictional visit to a concert you never attended. Wouldn't that be wild? We understand. We can't keep everything. With new technology comes new ways of expression. Your child might one day find an old cassette tape you guarded for decades and toss it aside as too much of a hassle. Sad and alone, our collections, once as tall as the greatest wonders of the deadhead world, will fade, much like ancient civilizations that, at their peak, were thought invisible to the relentless march of progress and innovation. Worf Rat. Worf Rat timidly emerges from space, unsure if the story is ready to be told. He looks at the faces of the sympathetic among us and decides that we are in a safe space. He begins. The down and out among us are fully engaged. The wasted lives, the constant up and downs, the trappings of a life our mothers could never have imagined for us. Garcia enunciates the August West name so clearly that one might view him as an alter ego. Imagine that, a vagrant who fancies himself an iconic guitar hero. The mirror works both ways, dude, he says, as we try not to wince in his direction. Charity is not one of our strong suits. We are neither established enough to help out, nor have we suffered enough to offer understanding. Our lives, firmly entrenched between extremes, offer neither salvation nor hope for the unfortunate. And isn't that the most unfortunate fate of all? Worf Rat offers the opportunity to glean guidance on how to be kinder to our fellow man. Phil, the killer fixer-upper, has us on the right path. There is nobility in teaching. Our skill is teaching skills. We have the ability to coax from students what they have always been meant to do with their lives. We are becoming perpetual enablers, a positive force, offering thoughts and prayers wherever we go. Love us, just don't ask us for money. Our guidance will help you forge your own path to a brighter future. Satisfied with our promises as plentiful as grains of sand, we saunter off toward the light. Personal hopes hinge on the light and the road it illuminates. We follow the road, clapping along with the masses, enjoying this version for what it is. It gets the job done, and you want to get excited, but decide against it, knowing that something better is bound to come along. Throwing stones. Something better ain't this version of throwing stones. Bobby is a half step ahead of everyone, a double bogey version. So much for par for the course. The mistakes lead to intriguing dance moves and split-second confusion, ultimately contributing to the performance's chaotic vibe. The show has strayed so far from the box of rain that it feels destined to wait in the corner while the other kids at the party play games and fight over second helpings of cake. This throwing stones would have to rip the roof off this place to even right the mothership. Conjecture, we are willing to place a small wager that that isn't happening. With the mistimings and hiccups, the flow is ruined. The great river of imagination is dammed, its waters diverted toward more deserving lands flowing far from Hampton. To hasten its return, we do our best to engage in meaningful discourse with the band, but the foibles and fumbles impede any progress. The land remains thirsty, but being internal optimists, we put on our best dancing shoes, slick our hair back, and get ready for the Jerry Jam. Come on, folks. It's time to lose yourself in the music. Who's with us? We plunge into the chaos, disregarding the possibility of cracked vertebrae or even the bare vertebrae of that lovely lass we encountered in the first set. We feel like a one-man show, enjoying ourselves despite everything. Yeah, we'll shake our bones to that. Why the fuck not? Garcia rewards us with some funk, and we go Soul Train line dancing down the aisle. Plenty of hand jiving and feathers in our hats, wide collars and a velvet jacket unbuttoned down past our chest hair to the navel. Part the seas of the unimpressed. We came here to party, like it or not. And as Bob sings the penultimate, ashes, ashes all fall down, we act like a nursery rhyme and fall asleep beneath the falling asbestos snow, just like the Wizard of Oz. Not fade away. Abrupt entry and average execution. Jarring. Woken up again, but with awareness comes the realization that this show has been painfully short. Three songs before drums and another three afterward. While we appreciate the balancing act performed on the first day of spring, we would have liked to hear another song before the drums, and we didn't even get another one after it. Guess they counted the Box of Rain double and decided to coast on the strength of a single song. Do they think we're fools, or is this another one of those prankster moments? The Dead wouldn't do that on purpose, but in this very receptive state, it definitely feels that way. The show leaves us wanting more. The coolest thing they could do would be to go into another 10 minutes drums, drift into space again, and work their way through the back nine once more. As a bonus, Brent throws in an extra Brent rap at the end. And again, Bobby overshadows his effort with a fresh wave of cacophony, which honestly feels forced. It reduces the song from something bigger than a Cadillac to a more manageable Ford Taurus. Ah, we'll clap along with the crowd, but that doesn't mean we love it. Besides, there's always tomorrow, Friday night. And you know what they say about Friday shows? That's right, nothing. They don't say anything about Friday shows. Alas, we wait for the encore. Encore, U.S. Blues. Jerry not fully bending that opening fifth note is known as foreshadowing, folks. This tune is judged by whether Mr. U.S. Blues can steal your wives. Not today, and certainly not with this limp noodle effort. We'll bitch slap him and her for even thinking it. Perfunctory, desultory, uninspired. Welcome to the United States Blues, founded on the concepts of freedom, democracy, and the right to tell everyone how to run their lives. Don't like it? Well, then we'll just have to make you like it. And by God, he says, pulling off the belt like so many times before, like it or not, you're going to like it. Someone should call out the old man for his excessive use of the word like, but we are not in a position to do so, as we have assumed a position that is ripe for a sound beating. By the time the welts subside, we will have pledged our love for family, God, and the wonderful country we are lucky enough to have been born in. At least until the cycle repeats itself. When our chance comes, we will inflict pain with the same intensity that only those who have received it from their parents can. However, do not be concerned about physically abused children. There are many others, possibly even more, who are taking advantage of this rare opportunity to be completely guilt-free. We know who we are, even to the point where we simultaneously hear the message, last one to the taper in the parking lot with a tank of nitrous, an icy cooler full of Heineken, and a killer sound system pumping tonight's show out of his van is a rotten egg. The dark eyes tell the story of the night. They see the sky filled with words shining in the distance, reading, how about that box of rain? The rest of it? Well, you can keep it. Hope you had a good one. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast, and we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to drop us a line anytime. See you next show on Grateful Shows. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.